Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A number of years ago, a young pastor I was talking to told the story of arriving at a brand new parish where he was serving. And at the first council meeting, a man who showed up at the council meeting, apparently a very wealthy man in the congregation, who had not been at church that first Sunday that he was there, the conversation had started to talk about the need for a petty cash fund. And this wealthy man, member of the council, took out his offering envelope that he hadn't brought because he was missing on Sunday. And he said, "You know, Pastor, how about if we let my weekly offering be the seed money for the petty cash fund?" And he tore it open and dumped out $100 on the table. And that young pastor said, "I was kind of wondering what his real agenda was." There's an old saying among pastors: beware of the man that meets you at the train station. Beware of the man that meets you at the train station. In other words, sometimes people that appear so eager to want to help, well, maybe there's another reason. Maybe there's a hidden agenda going on instead. If we're honest with ourselves, you probably have a lot of hidden agendas too. I know I sure do. It started out very early in us. Even as little kids, we figured out how to kind of dress up what we really wanted to say. Just like actors putting on a costume, that when we go talk to mom or dad, that you'd kind of give them those big eyes and maybe use a special little baby voice to kind of sound like they should be sympathetic to you. And you just had the way of, right? And inside, we're kind of concealing a real hidden motive and a hidden agenda. Doesn't change when we get to be adults at all. Sometimes we can sound like we're showing such deep concern and sympathy and mercy for someone. And our real motive is, boy, I hope people realize what a great Christian person I am. Or maybe outwardly wanting to appear very friendly to someone on the campus. And really your motive is sexual desire. Or maybe we like to act very interested and involved in a very particular cause, but the real motive is so that it looks good on our application to something someday, so that we can receive some advancement. Or maybe we're very meticulous and careful about how we do our job, but our real purpose is to have bragging rights over other people. Or maybe at our next performance evaluation, we're going to get a little bit more money. Maybe in conversation we like to sound as though we're passing on information that's very concerned about a fellow person, and really the goal is to run their reputation into the ground and make yourself look better. Or maybe you turn and act like you're looking at something, and really you're staring at someone's body. Or maybe trying to express gratitude to a particular individual, but actually, you're really hoping that they're just going to be more generous to you in the future. We like to dress up our motives all the time. We act and we put on costumes all the time and try to make ourselves appear so wonderful and as if we have such really great reasons for what we're doing and thinking. But deep down in our hearts and consciences and down into our souls, we know a lot better, don't we? No MRI machine can find that in you. No fantastic prosecuting attorney can ask the right question to get that truth out of you. Sometimes you don't even realize your own motives. I don't either until later. But God, the one who sees and who knows all, and the one who gives us his holy, powerful word, he's the one that can get at that agenda deep down inside of us. Remember the story of Judas when Jesus was being anointed by that woman at the town of Bethany before he was to go to his death? And Judas said in front of everybody at the meal that day, "Oh, it's a lot of money to be spending on just some oil. Just think what you could have done with that money to give to the poor." And I bet there were people at the table that day that were pretty impressed with his piety. I was like, yeah, what a thoughtful guy. What a very kind, thoughtful thing. But the Holy Spirit in Scripture records for us that he was the keeper of the money and he knew he was a thief. He wanted that money to be placed in the money bag for the disciples because he was pilfering funds. That was his real motive and his real agenda. Listen to the words in our text describing what the Word of God does for us when it's preached, proclaimed, and read. It is living. This isn't just some dead word like old words of Shakespeare. It's living. It has God's power in it. It is powerful, dunamis. It is sharper than a sword. And then this statement, thinking about how we dress up in costumes with our motives, listen to this statement. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. He rips the costume off of every motive that we have and looks right down inside of us. In fact, it says, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Do you know where that is? I don't. I can't even find that inside of me. And this is what God does with his word. He penetrates down into our conscience. He penetrates down into our soul, into our hearts, our minds, and he just looks around and he knows everything that's going on. That is terrifying. And to think that this is the one who judges where I go after this life is over, and I can fake all I want in front of people, but this is the one who knows everything about me. That's terrifying. That has to be one of the harshest law paragraphs in the Bible. Thank God our reading doesn't stop there. Look at that next beautiful paragraph. Without that, we would just be left just burned. Listen, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Knowing our agendas about ourselves, is there any doubt that we needed someone to go on our behalf in front of God? And who better could it be than his pure, holy, and righteous Son, who faced all the same temptations that we have, but never once caved into them? And that holy, perfect Son of God, who then went to the cross and shed his blood as the great high priest, now stands in front of God our Father on our behalf, pleading our case, knowing everything about us, but pleading our case for mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. And the Father loves his Son and must listen to him. It is that very Son of God who has gone to the cross, who has paid for every one of our outward sins as well as our inward hidden sins and all of those sins on our agenda. John tells us God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And because of Christ, notice the invitation you personally are given. Listen to it again. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now remember, this is the God who looks down into your bones and into your conscience and into your soul, who knows everything about you, every motive you've ever had. He remembers them all. And yet he's chosen to put them on Christ and forget them in that sense and to wipe them clean. And he's the one who invites you now to come before him. And he doesn't say, just come before my throne of grace. Listen to what he says again. Come boldly to my throne of grace. That means don't have any fear. Don't have any reason that you think, maybe God isn't going to listen to me. Of course he is. Look what Christ has done. Come boldly to the throne of grace. So today, leave here taking God at his word. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen.